You're listening to a sermon from Lagos Baptist Church. Lagos exists by God's grace to reach our neighbors and the nations with the good news of Jesus Christ. You're invited to worship with us this Sunday morning. Sunday school meets at 9 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10 a.m. And now, today's message from God's Word.
If you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, as we'll conclude 22 sermons between 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, if you're keeping up with that sort of thing. And I just happened to look back at that end of week, and we didn't set out with that as a goal. We just tried to take it as God has given to us. Let me give you a little bit of background on 1st and 2nd Thessalonians that'll ground our study of the benediction, Paul's benediction, a reminder of divine blessings we've received. But at the time of writing 1 Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica was a brand new church. Paul and Silas and Timothy, God used to plant that church. And by the way, this will just blow you away as you, I'll remind us of this. They had been with the church at Thessalonica only for probably less than a month, 3 weeks. 3 weeks' time before they were run out of town, a big riot, and so they run out of Thessalonica. Paul's writing from Corinth, and so this church is obviously born and established, and Paul loves them greatly, and they love him greatly, and they have a lot of good things going for them. There's confusion about Christ coming, and in the first letter, about those believers who have died. Are they okay? And then in the second letter, you've got really three issues we'll talk about in that second letter. But between 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Paul sent Timothy back. Timothy brings a report, and that prompts the writing of 2nd Thessalonians. I love history, and that's a little bit of history, but that puts in context. But they listen to this. They are a people that there's so many good things to say about this church that are said in the letter. They love the Lord deeply. They love each other deeply. God is doing a good work in them, but they are, listen, suffering greatly. They're suffering under very difficult circumstances. And so that should give us pause. By the way, since it's a New Testament letter, it was written, God is the divine author, but the human author, the Apostle Paul, as he'll tell us at the end, and written to a local church. But since it's Scripture, God has spoken this to the church, to the people of God. So there's application. It was application to this particular church at Thessalonica, but there's application to Christians in every age. And it is a letter. It's called New Testament epistles, but it's a letter that Paul wrote. And so with that, I want to read, I want us to start at 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 1. Take you about 5 minutes to read it, and but we'll unpack those last three verses. The word of the Lord from 2 Thessalonians 1, 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. We mentioned they are suffering. Verse 6, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed. For our testimony to you was believed. To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure, be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm. Hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. And we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order: if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him, so that he would be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Our passage for today begins at verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, and this is a distinguishing mark in every letter. This is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Don't you just picture, can't you picture the church at Thessalonica all gathered together? Hey, everybody get in close. got this letter from Paul. He's written us again. All right, everybody be quiet, everybody be quiet. And that first reading of that letter that we just read, isn't that a great, great blessing? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your word, and what a treasure, divine revelation, Lord. It's a great blessing that we often neglect. Lord, forgive us for that. We pray your Spirit, that he would speak clearly this morning. We behold wonderful things, Lord, from your law, and Lord, that we would not stop short having just heard, but we would press in and be doers of your word. We would believe this great gospel. We would place our faith in Jesus Christ alone. We'd turn, keep turning from our sin. We'd be repenters, ongoing repenters, and we'd be a healthy church, Lord. We think about the church at Thessalonica, a healthy young church, Lord. In many measures, we're a relatively young church, and we want to be a healthy church. And so we pray that you would do a great work for your glory today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the benediction, the closing is what we have here. And again, 2 Thessalonians 3, just 16, 17, and 18. And so fourth prayer. I hope you picked up on that. Time and time again, you would see as I was reading, so chapter 1, verse 11, to this end, also we pray for you always. And then you get down to verse 13 of chapter 2, we should always give thanks to God for you. Verse 16 of chapter 2, now here's the prayer, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father. So what we have starting there at verse 16 is not a prayer, but he's telling them what he's praying. So it's not the prayer verbatim, but what he's praying for them in this benediction. And what it is, it's really, he's going to remind them, you know, a good teacher, good preacher, what's that say? You know, tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them, and then tell them what you told them. And so in these three verses, Paul's going, tell them what he's praying for them. And by doing so, he's going to tell them again what he has told them. And think about 2 Thessalonians, if you're a Bible marker, there's really three, each chapter gets one of the themes of 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1 is all about this outside opposition. Turn back to chapter 1 and look down at verse 5. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment. So they're persevering in the midst of all this persecution. It's a plain indication that God's working out his plan so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God. Listen, for which indeed you are suffering. So there's sort of three big buckets, I would say. Chapter 1 is here. Here the people of God are experiencing great persecution and they're suffering. Their circumstances are not good. That's chapter 1. Going to encourage them in that. Chapter 2 has to do, not with outside opposition. That's what's happening in chapter 1. Chapter 2 is this confusion around the return of the Lord Jesus. Look back at chapter 2, verse 1. We request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jesus is coming back and when we're going to be taken up together with him, and then somebody's trying to get them off track with some false teaching, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure, disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. So there were some people saying, you know what? Jesus has already come back. You missed it. So chapter 1 is all about, man, they're getting pressure from outside opposition. Chapter 2 is, you have missed it. The parousia, Jesus' return, he's already returned and you've missed it. He corrects that. And then chapter 3 is where he gets personal with calling out a segment for, look at chapter 3, verse 11, 4. We hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life. And undisciplined, there were some lazy Christians that were refusing to work. And instead of being busy at their work, they were being busybodies. And he's writing a corrective to them. So that's the three chapters. That's sort of the three big things that are going on. You've got outside opposition in chapter 1. You've got a question about the confusion around, has Jesus come back? Is Jesus coming back? What's going to happen when he does? And then chapter 3, this internal conflict. So to that, these three verses, I think, keep pointing back to those. So let's get to it. What is Paul's benediction? And I'm suggesting to you as a reminder of divine blessings that we have received. Well, look there at verse 16. To the first blessing, number 1, the peace of Christ. the peace of Christ. Look at verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord of peace. And now, by the way, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians is all about, it's very, very Christological. It's very focused on what Jesus has done. And listen, for us who are in Christ, all the blessings we have from God, and you probably say, David, you say that too much. Well, I need to say it more. All the blessings we've received from God, guess how they come to us? They come to us through Christ. Through Christ. They're mediated, they're brought to us by Christ. So I love what he does here. May the Lord of peace, may Christ, second person of the Trinity, himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. So this is a good corrective. Oftentimes, we think about Jesus. We think about what Jesus has done for us. And this is as we should. We think like, well, praise the Lord that God in Christ has saved me from the wrath of God, from the penalty of my sins. And when I die or when Jesus comes, I will be with the Lord because of Jesus. That's good theology. But let me tell you, Christianity is a lot bigger than that. It's to permeate every aspect of our life. May the Lord of peace, listen, right now, chapter 1, while you're experiencing all this opposition from the outside, while you're doubting, hey, has Jesus come back? Let's correct that. While you're dealing with internal conflict in the church, Paul says, now may the Lord of peace himself, right here, right now, continually grant you peace in every circumstance. So the peace of Christ, peace, Old Testament word for peace, shalom. New Testament word for peace is the word Irene, my mama's name, Irene. And this inner calm, absence of turmoil. And by the way, it's only found in one place, this verse, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace. It is well with my soul, right? Grant you peace in every circumstance. So where's true peace? True peace. And if we're going to have true peace, the world, I love to go to New York City. And when you go to New York City, you drive by the United Nations, and it's a beautiful sight with all those flags, you know, and it's like blocks of that thing, a myriad of buildings. But true peace, the world would use our vocabulary, but they wouldn't use our dictionary. Because what the world means about peace, can't we all just sort of like, you worship whoever you want to worship, I'll worship whoever I want to worship, or don't worship anybody at all, but let's just all be nice to each other. That's pseudo-peace. True peace begins with, listen, sinful men, women, boys, and girls being made right with the holy God we just sang about. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. So our greatest need, your greatest need, is to have peace with God. And by the way, the Bible is clear. Jesus is the way, the truth. He is the Prince of Peace. So peace with God. And then, by the way, an outworking of that, we jump to really third, peace with others. Once you get peace with God, then you can have, listen, peace within. And listen what he says. This is like mind-blowing. May the Lord of peace, may Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, may he himself, it's not a delegated task, continually grant you. Listen, peace is a gift from God. It must be given. It can't be earned. It can't be procured. It can't be obtained. You go to any major city in America. By the way, have you seen in some of these big cities where people do these videos, and you'll see dozens and dozens of people walking around drugged out of their minds. Heartbreaking. You know what those people are looking for? They're looking for peace. And by the way, you can start, and by the way, let's feed those people. Let's get them in, hey, get off drug programs. Let's get all those. But I want to tell you something. All those are band-aids on the deeper wound that until you meet Jesus, you will have no peace with God and you will have no true peace within. And then that gets you to having peace with others, but peace within, experiential peace, right here, right now. I love this. May the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the peace of Christ. And by the way, look back at verse 12 of our chapter. Chapter 3, verse 12. We exhort, or now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion. So we got the authority of Christ. Authority of Jesus is, now we've got the Lord of peace himself, the peace that Jesus brings. And by the way, this would be a common Numbers 6. You would recognize this. The way Jews in the Old Testament would have greeted one another, the Lord bless you, Numbers 6:24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And I love what Paul's doing. Paul's taking that Aaron's blessing and he's brought it over, and we almost get at verse 16 the verbatim of that. So Yahweh in the Old Testament is Christ. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. So the Lord of peace, if we're going to have peace, it must be granted. It must be given to us. Peace is a gift received. And by the way, this is remarkable. May the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace. Look at this, in every circumstance. They're getting persecution from the outside. They're walking around Thessalonica and they're being mocked and persecuted and ostracized and mistreated. Man, I want to drink from that fountain, don't you? Peace in, what did he say? Every circumstance. We gotta like press into that. Not peace is not absence of conflict, not absence of pain or problems, but a settled assurance that it is well with our soul for right now and for eternity. In every circumstance. By the way, how many of you have found circumstances vary greatly? I mean, my circumstances and my feelings vary greatly. I mean, you can just be going along and things are going great, and then the next second things are like not going so great, and then we ride this. And listen to what Paul is saying. Paul's saying, Jesus is so amazing. He is so powerful. I'm not praying, he might say, that the persecution, remember, he's being persecuted there, they're being persecuted here. He's not saying, I pray y'all won't suffer anymore. Nope. May the Lord of peace himself grant continually. That means like keep on. That means like we run through that supply of peace today and Jesus gives us another supply tonight. That means we're at the end of our rope and Jesus ties another knot and we just keep on keeping on. And hey, what happens when the peace runs out? Well, the peace doesn't run out because the Lord of peace himself is continually able to grant us peace in every circumstance. When they walk into that exam room and they say, man, it is not good. When we answer the call and say, you know, your loved one, have you heard? I think of all the things that life, and y'all, if this is true, and it is, this is better than any drug that's ever been made. Every drug's trying to get at this. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians. Think about how peace was made. I told you it's about peace with God as a starting point. Colossians 1:19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, in Jesus, and through him, Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself. And you might say, I'm going to stop right there. You might say, whew, I'm glad I have peace with God. Me and God, we had a powwow. We went out to the tent and we talked about it. And, you know, I picture like Lion Witch in the wardrobe. Like, no. Here's where peace is brought. Verse 20, Colossians 1. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, Jesus went to the old rugged cross and was slaughtered. Endured God's wrath to make peace for us. The old rugged cross, through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, because of Christ we have peace with God. And here's what Paul's doing. He's praying for him. Listen, because of Christ, we have peace with God. And that prayer in verse 16 is Paul saying, I'm praying for you that you'll walk in what you have. You know, you could have gas in your car, but if you were convinced it didn't have any gas and you just wouldn't, where's it going to get you? I love that. Paul's saying, you got this. You got this in Christ. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. Second, not only the peace of Christ, the benediction, we get reminded about this blessing, the presence of Christ. It's not just the peace of Christ, but the presence of Christ. Now may the, verse 16, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. Listen to what he says. The Lord be with you all. The Lord be with you all. Something my daddy made me do, I don't think it was good, and I replicated with Luke, and I don't think it was good, but daddy failed and I failed. But any of y'all ever been scared of the dark? I was scared of the dark. I'm not scared of the dark anymore, but I was scared of the dark. And so what my dad decided would be a good remedy to be scared, for if you're scared of the dark, is you had to run some laps around the house after the Bible, after family prayed at night by myself. How about that? That sounds like tough love, doesn't it? You're scared, so since you're scared of the dark, go out into the dark. And then Luke said I did that to him. I don't remember that, but maybe I did. That shows fathers don't repeat the sins of our fathers, right? Luke, do better. But
you're in Christ. You are never, by the way, more than that, we finish a flashing little unplug something, turn it off the road. If we're in Christ, here's what I'll tell you on the authority of the Word of God, we are never alone.
Amen.
No matter where we go, no matter what we encounter, I love what Paul said. He's reminded, the Lord be with you all. I was just reading other Hebrews this week. He will never leave us or forsake us.
Amen.
He is always with us. So, we might expect, again, that there's so much going on in this little phrase, that since the Lord be with you all, we might expect him to say, God be with you. But let me tell you, and God is with us, but the God that came down is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love that. The Lord be with you all. So in their town, they're sort of like me running around the house after dark. In their town, they're the minority. But let me tell you, if Christ is with us, we're the majority. And this is so good. They look down on, and what Paul says, the Lord be with you all. Now, this is stated explicitly by Christ. Listen to this in Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations.
Listen, Jesus is good news for all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Listen to the end of verse 20. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is with us. And look, I want you to see something else that's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful about the context. Look at the last sentence of verse 16. The Lord be with you all. How do you think you would feel if you were one of the Christians at Thessalonica that I had not been out there working with my own hands to pay for my own bread, and I had been a busybody instead of being busy? You're feeling like you've been what? You sort of feel like you've been put in the crosshairs. Listen to what Paul does. Paul doesn't say, Lord, be with everybody other than those sorry, good-for-nothing brothers who aren't working. It's not what he says. This is so good. The Lord be with you all. I love that. After the corrective has cut them, Christ's love includes them, and they're brought in. The Lord be with you all. So we have clearly, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, the peace of Christ. But second, we've got the presence of Christ. And I love that. The Lord be with you all. That's another one of those things. We have that as Christians all the time. And what he's praying is, he's saying, I'm praying for you that you'll walk in what you have. Since Jesus is with you, act like it. I would say it this way. Be winners for Christ today because Christ is with you. We are more than conquerors. So we've got the peace of Christ, the presence of Christ. Third, this one is not a flyover verse. There's no flyover verses in the Bible. The truth of God revealed in Scripture leading us to Christ. We've got, these are divine blessings. He's telling us about blessings that we have. And this third blessing is the truth of God revealed in Scripture leading us to Christ. I love how he says it. Look at verse 17. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, and this is a distinguishing mark in every letter. This is the way I write. Now, there's a lot going on there. You might say, well, what does that matter? It matters. He's authenticating that the letter that they've received, now God has preserved it, but he's authenticating and verifying that this is Scripture. In other words, we need to have a filter. We need to have a filter in our day. They needed to in Paul's day and the church at Thessalonica's today. We need to have a filter of what's true and what's not true. You say, that's good. I got Google and ChatGPT. Come up here and let me admonish you. Right? Well, I just punched that in. And by the way, that might be good for like, hey, remind me how many, ounces to milliliter, whatever. Okay? Amen. Go for it. But what is really true and what's not, what he tells them, look at this. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Now, let me tell you how New Testament letters were typically written. Here would be a good $5 word for you. They were written by scribes. The Greek word for that is amanuensis. Amanuensis. So picture Paul. Paul's sitting there in the chair, and across from him is a scribe. Tertius, one of the scribes. So he names, there's some scribes named in Scripture. But Paul, here's what's going on. God the Holy Spirit's telling Paul what to write. Paul's telling the scribe, and the scribe's writing it down. Till they get down to verse 16, Paul says, give me the pen. That's what happens. He says, give me the pen. Verse 17, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Now, I love what he says. So Paul's writing that part with his own hand. This is a distinguishing mark in every letter. That is the way I write. So they get over there. And by the way, I love that Paul wrote that in there because this is going to be read to the church. So somebody's up there reading what Paul's written. And they're saying, hey, this really is God's word. This really is truth. You know what our day's not good at? Discerning what is really truth and what's not truth. And by the way, we know this church was being challenged with truth. Look back at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit. You know there are spirits out there trying to get us off track. Either by a spirit or a message. Do you know there are people out there preaching messages that are not true? Or a letter. Do you know there are people out there printing stuff, writing stuff that's not true? And Paul's saying, be very, very Berean. Be very, very discerning. Know our Bibles. You don't just accept any letter that comes into Thessalonica. You make sure it's authentic, that it is truth. I love that. So that you would not be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let me tell you, the enemy is at work nonstop to undermine the truth. And by the way, God's given us great facilities. He's given us a whole bunch of things. But wait, if the church catches on fire, as long as we get our Bibles and get out, as long as we got the Bible, the church got what was valuable. Because the Bible is what's valuable. If we never had a building, but we had the Bible, we would have all that we need. So these people, listen, I love this. Chapter 1, remember? Outside opposition. What's chapter 1 all about? You should know this. If I was giving you a test, I'd put it on. Chapter 1, I've told you like 3 times. Outside opposition. What's the key to standing firm against outside opposition? The truth. Chapter 2, hey, y'all, y'all missed Jesus coming. Too bad. So sad. No. Truth of Scripture. And then, by the way, so that internal conflict. Now, we're going to have this letter read, and Paul's about to call some people out, and those busy bodies are going to become busy workers, we hope, on Monday. But it's grounded in the truth of Scripture. So there, the key, by the way, if you're smart, this dates me, because some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. You need to keep coming back to the owner's manual. You're like, what is an owner's manual? Man, I remember that daddy be working on something. Sometimes men, we consult that late, don't we? Every knuckle cut to the bone, you know, blood all over us. And we say, hey, honey, let's look at the instructions. You know, why do we have to beat our knuckles all up and do that? We know this to be true. Listen to what the psalmist said. I love this, Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And that's what he's saying there. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is a distinguishing mark in every letter. This is the way I write. All right, fourth blessing. We've got the grace of Christ. So we've got the peace of Christ. We've got the presence of Christ. We've got this treasure of Scripture, and we've got the grace of Christ. Look at verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look how Christological this benediction is. Verse 16. May the Lord of peace, may Christ, look, he is the one who gives peace. Look at the end of verse 16. It is the one, he is the one who is present with us. Verse 17, how do we get peace with God? Well, we study Scripture, and it tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then, verse 18, it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So he opened the letter, by the way. Look at chapter 1, verse 2. Grace to you and peace. So how he closes it, this inclusio, grace and peace. Grace, God's unmerited favor that he has bestowed on us. Listen, motivated by his love and mercy. I love that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has borne our sins in his body on the cross. He has perfectly fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. I love that. In our place condemned he stood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And I love that again. Remember, he's just corrected them. And he doesn't just say the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. But look at this, that beautiful little all-inclusive word to every last member of the body of Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What a good, good word, the grace of Christ. Let's put a period at the end of the sentence for 2 Thessalonians in four or five ways. So doing the word. First of all, give thanks to God that by the blood of Jesus we have peace with God. I appreciate what Chris said in his prayer. You can sit here today and it can be, we can use language. So when I use language like, hey, we're all in Christ, I'm making some real serious assertions. So I'm preaching that to the church, to those people. So listen to this. We may all not be in Christ. And by the way, to be in Christ, you have to respond to the gospel. You have to repent of your sins and place your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior and Lord. Right? You have to. So let's like, the stakes are really, really high. But for those of us, and by the way, if you haven't done that, we would love to talk with you about how you can do that today. But for those of us who are in Christ, give thanks to God. Listen to this. By the blood of Jesus, we have peace with God. That was a peace that cost a great price. We don't need to lose sight of that. The blood of Jesus. Second, pray God will grow us to walk in experiential peace regardless of our circumstances. And that's easy to say sitting here on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, we all get cleaned up and come in here, and it's like, yeah, we have peace with God. Now, I'm telling you, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. Any of y'all ever experienced a lack of peace on Monday morning? Well, I have. So y'all haven't? Y'all like, I'm just going to keep praying for David. Please do. We need to lean into it. Is God a truth teller, or is God a liar? He's a truth teller. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually, look, keep on granted. Continually grant you peace in every circumstance. So God, we pray this morning you will grow us to walk in this peace that is ours in Christ, regardless of our circumstances. Have you ever been blown away when you've interacted with a believer who is in very, very, very dire straits, and they articulated that they had sweet peace with God? Isn't that remarkable? So we've seen that. And Lord, help us live that. Help us testify. Take comfort in the promise that Christ is always with us. Take comfort in the promise that Christ is always with us. Next, give thanks to God for the gift of these two letters. How much richer are we for having been able to study 1st and 2nd Thessalonians? Just a treasure. And by the way, I think about with some of the missionary partners we have. We've been in some parts of the world, and you talk to Wycliffe, and they said, yeah, this little people group, they're about to have, they don't have any scripture in their language, but they're about to have the Gospel of John, or they've got the first four chapters of John, and they're so excited. And we've had 22 Lord's days to study through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and Paul just does the deep dive that, let me tell you something, our loved ones who died trusting in Christ, they are with the Lord. And they're going to be with him at his coming. And then what about this error that maybe we've just like deceived ourselves? No. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to put all things right. He's going to deal with all his enemies. They have been put under his feet, and they will once for all. So give thanks to God for the gift of these two letters. And then related to that big theme of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, which is, I believe, the return of Jesus. Joyfully live for Jesus with certainty of his return for us. We are not a people that says, you know, today's hard, it's better, tomorrow's going to probably be worse. Let me tell you something. Paul would say in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with y'all. Let me tell you something. In Jesus, you have right here, right now, everything you need for the journey. You got his peace. You got his presence. You got a sure word. You got his grace. And by the way, hold the line. Jesus is coming back for you all. Your loved ones who trusted in him, they're fine. They're with him. You hadn't missed anything. Just keep, don't read that garbage. Read what's true. He's coming back, and let me tell you something. He is going to be coming and reigning king and ruling judge, and it will be beyond comprehension. Think about that. Chapter 1, you got this outside opposition. Paul read that letter, he's like, oh, we can hang in there. Chapter 2, it's like, hey, those people that came bringing that false letter, get out of here. We don't hear that garbage in there. Hey, and guys, you busybodies, tomorrow morning, you know what? We have a job for you. You're going to be working. Right in, it's just so good. So joyfully live for Jesus with certainty. Y'all, we got everything we need. Today is a good and glorious day, and our future is bright forever. We will be with the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you as we have studied today, Lord. We thank you for, Lord, your peace. Our world has no counterfeit for the peace of Christ. Lord, we thank you that you are present with us. Lord, I lose sight of that. I need to be reminded of that. Lord, we need you every hour, every millisecond. Lord, we thank you that your word is a lamp, a light. Lord, help us to ground our faith, what we believe, our practice, what we do, Lord, in Scripture. Lord, not to be tossed to and fro by every opinion or wind or what the world thinks. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your word so clearly reveals Jesus, shows him to be the Savior, the Lord, the soon coming King. Thank you for the grace of Christ, God, that you have. You didn't have to write a book, Lord, to tell us that we don't measure up, that we're sinful. You could have declared, you could have left us without hope in the world, but Lord, you set your love on a bunch of sinners like us, and you saved us. And we thank you that Christ fulfilled the law. We thank you that Jesus paid it all. We thank you for so great a salvation. Lord, we want to live out the application of this word. We want to overcome whatever opposition we experience in the world, Lord, and we want to have a proper, true view of how it all ends, of end times. We want to deal with problems in the body, Lord, in a way that's pleasing in your sight. Lord, we want to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, and we thank you that our great Savior Jesus has brought these divine blessings to us. Lord, we didn't earn those. We're not better than other people. We're not smarter than other people. We're not more, we haven't done good works to get us some kind of favor. But Lord, you are gracious. You are merciful. You are mighty to save. Lord, I pray that if there is, even as been prayed already, Lord, if there's one person today that's lost, Lord, I pray he or she would be saved. Lord, that you would give them space to repent, and they'd repent of their sins and place their faith in Christ alone. May we worship you in a manner worthy of you, we pray, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon from Lagos Baptist Church. To learn more about Lagos, to plan a visit, or to reach out to our pastoral staff, visit us online at lagosdothan.org. We hope you'll join us in person this coming Sunday at Lagos Baptist Church.